Today on Real Radio.
Dr. Luke in your Bible was a physician who was a slave. All those people, attorneys, listen, truly, attorneys were slaves in those days. Wealthy people hired, or they got a slave, that is, they hired teachers and sent their slave off to school and taught them law. Then they came back under the house and worked for the owner. Jesus says that you're in bondage and you can never be part of the house, but a son is free. And he's going to introduce how you can be free from the power of sin and become a son. That's awesome.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We're looking at verses 31 through 47, which starts out with Jesus saying, "The truth shall make you free." Of course, they misunderstood him at first, but of course Jesus went on to explain that it is not political imprisonment. It's the issue of being a slave to sin. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called "The Truth Shall Make You Free."
The ultimate healing is when he calls us home. Delivered from physical restraints and slavery. If God doesn't heal you, there's things in my life he hasn't healed me of, but you know what? He changes my heart, changes my mind, and I'm set free. And of course, spiritual freedom. The second consideration is in verse 33. Who is a real Christian? Is one who knows the truth. Look at verse 33, it says, and they, the religious leaders possibly, or the audience that's claiming to believe in him, says, we are Abraham's descendants and we have never been in bondage to anyone. This is hilarious. These guys, it's pathetic what these guys are saying here. They forgot their own history. I could start saying things like Babylon, Assyrians, the Greeks, and the Romans, and if you have forgotten all that, how about the Egyptians? We've never been in bondage to anyone. See, they're thinking on the natural plane. But even then, they're lying or they have forgotten the truth. But Jesus is speaking spiritual. They're thinking natural. But even in their natural discernment, they're off. They're wrong. We are Abraham's descendants. That means they were physical descendants of Abraham, but they had forgotten of their great rebellion and of their lives and all being carted off into captivity. Listen, when God judges a nation, he leads them into captivity. Do you know that? I hope you know that. I hope you've read your Old Testament to realize that when God judges his people, he sends them to captivity. He usually does so, first of all, by sending them an evil king. He instills an evil king over his people to try to get them to cry out to God. Usually, according to history, we don't. And then he goes for the thing that is ultimately going to bring around a revival. Could take 4 days, could take 40 years, could take 400 years. God sends captivity. God will always install an evil king before a nation is taken off into captivity. But in that captivity, God is longing for those people to cry out to him that they might be made free. We are to know the truth. They didn't know the truth. They refused the truth. Third consideration, who is a real Christian? Well, a real Christian is one who is free. They said in verse 33, how can you say you will be made free? I don't know how you look at this. I love what this verse implies to me, and this is how I answer it. Who is a real Christian? Well, the one who's free. Well, they say, how can you say? They're asking Jesus, they're questioning him. How can you say you will be made free? And my answer to that is yes. So what? Yeah, that's exactly what Jesus says. That's my point. How can you say that we'll be made free? Yes, that's how it happens. I say it, you're made free. Do you get it? How can you say it? They're questioning him. They want to fight with him. Well, what's the meaning of is anyway? What do you mean when you say we can be made free? That's exactly correct. Jesus has the power to say you're free, and you're free. Why? Because he's the king, he's the master, and he has control. And if a slave comes to him longing for his presence, stands there, Jesus has the power to say, you're free. Only the Son, by the way, has the authority to do that. And that slave is set free. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, Matthew 8, 5 through 8 says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the what? Word, and my servant will be healed. Wow. That centurion recognized the authority that Jesus had. And this centurion says, hey, my slave is sick. Jesus, just speak the word. Why? Because when Jesus speaks the word, slaves are set free. Are you a slave to something in your life? Jesus is speaking the word to you right now. What is it that you're battling with? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Is it a relationship? Is it finances? Is it whatever? Is it a relationship between you and another brother or sister? Is it something that's gone on? Jesus is speaking the word to you now. He's giving you the Bible, and you can be set free from that very thing. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you're lost, you're abandoned in your sin, you're a slave to sin, and Jesus is speaking to you this morning saying, you can be freed from your sin. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. His word. John 15, verse 3 and 4 says, Jesus speaking, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. That's powerful. Who's a real Christian? The one who's free. Isn't it awesome as a believer you're not in bondage to anything? Now listen, nobody called me up to have me say this morning. If the shoe fits, throw it away. Get away from it. And it's this. You know, if you're messing around, if you're having sex around town, you think you're free? You're not free. You're in bondage. If you've got to have a drink to calm your nerves, you're in absolute bondage. You know that? You're not free. Whatever you have to have, whatever that thing might be in your life, you're not free. Be careful. Jesus makes us free by the words that he speaks. Second point this morning, verses 34 to 38. How does a real Christian live? How does a real Christian live? The difference between, by the way, freedom and bondage is the matter of whether you are a servant or a son. That's very important. Listen, how does a real Christian live? First of all, verses 34 to 35 is that they're freed from the power of sin. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. First thing we want to realize here is that a servant can only, or a slave can only live in a house. He doesn't own the house. But listen, according to Jewish rule and custom, which is where Jesus is out of and what he's teaching from, the master of the house, being the father, but his children were also the masters. When a son, listen carefully, wake up, hear this. When a son reached a certain age, 30-ish, that son and all of the wealth and all of the prominence of that family was transferred to the son. There's no probate court in Israel, still not to this day. Isn't that great news? You know, that's good news. And it's handed over to the son. then the Son has absolute authority from that moment on to do whatever he desires. Well, listen to this. When Jesus says here that the servant can never be really a part of the house, but look what he goes on to say. He says, but a son abides forever. This is important. The son owns the house that the servant's living in. Even if the servant, as that little baby son grows up, that servant has control, jurisdiction over that son until that son reaches 30-ish. And then when that son's around 30-ish, the son takes absolute control over that servant, over that slave. In those days, mathematicians, scientists, engineers, physicians, Dr. Luke in your Bible was a physician who was a slave. All those people, attorneys, listen, truly, attorneys were slaves in those days. Wealthy people hired, or they got a slave, that is, they hired teachers and sent their slave off to school and taught them law. Then they came back under the house and worked for the owner. Jesus says that you're in bondage and you can never be part of the house, but a son is free. And he's going to introduce how you can be freed from the power of sin and become a son. That's awesome. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Why don't you turn there real quick? Romans 6, 12, 6, 13. Romans 6, 13. And do not, the Bible says, present your members, that is your hands and your feet and your body parts, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. Can you imagine this hand? Your hand is an instrument of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have rule or kingdom or dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, teaching, to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves to doing right or to righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, remember our BC days, before Christ days? Well, he says, and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Isn't that awesome? Lord, here I am. God says, all right, let's go. He wants to use your hands, your feet, your nose, your eyes, everything. Look at Romans, stay there. Look at Romans 6, 22. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that good news? How does a real Christian live? Secondly, freed to be liberated. A real Christian is liberated. Freed from the power of sin, yes, and liberated. Therefore, he says in verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. This is the beauty. The audience could have been very, very possible slave people, lots of them. When Jesus says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. They understood exactly what he's saying. Hey, in this Jewish world that we live in, when that son reaches an age and makes that declaration, that slave, listen, not only becomes free, but the slave, are you ready, becomes part of the household. And the slave, are you ready, receives all of the inheritance that that son has. Say, is that real, Jack? Are you sure? Positive. You know what the term is called? And it's coined upon, or it's founded upon this very act. The word Old Testament time and early church was this: adoption. adoption. Someone who was not born into your family is now declared in the family, and all that is of the family becomes theirs in equal parts. Adoption. I would imagine that in a group of this size, there's somebody in here that's been adopted. Do you know how privileged you are? Listen, when I was born, my parents were stuck with me. When I came out, they went, well, you know, there he is. But to be adopted, to be picked out, we'll take her. We'll take him. God says, I want you. I want them. Isn't that neat? He's adopted us into his own family. We've been liberated. So that eldest son would make the proclamation, you're mine now. You're no longer my slave. I adopt you. I have the authority to bring you into the family, and all that I have is yours. Galatians 4, verse 1. Galatians 4, 1 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from the slave, though he is master of all. Who is? The son. But he's a little guy. He's only a little baby. And the slave is rocking the master or taking care of the master, even though that be a little tiny 8-pound master. He's still a master, yet he's a little guy. Though he is master of all, verse 2, but is under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Or we would say in English, Daddy. If you're Italian, you would say Papa. If you're Hebrew, you would say Abba. If you're from California, you say Daddy. The Holy Spirit calls us and invites us to say, Dad, Daddy, that intimacy, very, very close. By the way, there's no stronger wording for relationship. Verse 7, Galatians 4, 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Isn't that great? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This is a great story. It's a wonderful truth. Can I give you some more scriptures, even though we're running out of time? Can you jot these down? Philemon, the book of slavery, by the way. Awesome book. Philemon's only one chapter, so verses 15 to 17. Paul writes to Philemon, who had a slave by ownership, Onesimus, who had ran away. Listen, Onesimus ran away from Philemon. Philemon got saved, or was saved. Onesimus, his slave, ran away. And while he had run away, during that time, he got saved. So he was afraid to come back to Philemon because Philemon had the right to kill him. This is a Christian master, and now there's a Christian slave, but they haven't been reconciled. So Paul intervenes. He's the mediator. And he says, for perhaps he departed, that is, Onesimus, maybe, departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. Isn't this awesome? No longer as a slave, but more than a slave. Yes, a brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? Paul's saying, hey, Philemon, listen, calm down. Don't kill Onesimus. I found him. Your slave who ran away? Listen, the cool thing is, maybe God had him run away because he got saved. And I want to reintroduce him back to your life. By the way, he was a great blessing to me, but he can even be a more greater blessing to you because you own him, but now you're brothers in Christ. Wow. I love that. Am I the only one loving this, or have I had too much coffee? What is this? Do you remember what slavery you and I used to be attached to? And you're set free from that stuff. You don't do it anymore. You don't have to. You don't want to.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Romans 1:1, jot it down. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. The word is slave. Paul was a slave to Jesus. That's Romans 1:1. Romans 16:1 says, I commend, unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a slave of the church which is in Centuria. A slave. Christians are slaves to God, no longer slaves to the world. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, slaves of Jesus. And then Philemon again, verse 1, when Paul introduces the letter to Philemon about Onesimus, Paul says of himself, beginning opening statement, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, taking the position of Christ's slave. Thirdly, verses 37 to 38, how does a real Christian live? Well, a real Christian lives freed from the old nature. I'm so glad about that. Verse 37, Jesus says, I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you've seen of your father. Things are going to get pretty hot here with that kind of language. First of all, notice this. They're making a claim that's inconsistent with their conduct. They're saying, we're Abraham's children. By the way, Jesus, can you stand still long enough for us to throw rocks at you and kill you? There's a great void here. Well, first of all, what about a Christian? Well, a Christian's freed from the old nature. Hey, come on, let's be honest. Were there people in our lives that we would have liked to have killed if we could have? So how dare you say that? That is so mean to say on a Sunday morning such as this. Listen, lady, if you're gossiping about your friend, you're killing them. If you've ever heard somebody say, I can't stand that guy, the Bible says that's a statement or declaration of murder. You're wishing them dead. The old nature. Those of you who are born again, you fight with the old nature. The old person of who we once were, but no longer are. They're making a claim to be Abraham's children, but they want to kill him. What a great inconsistency. Listen, the real Christian's freed from the old nature, completely freed. In Romans 6, verse 5, the Bible says, know this. By the way, it's great in the Greek. Knowing this, know it. Rehearse it in your head. Over and over again, Paul says, Romans 6, 5, know this, that our old man was crucified with Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Good news, huh?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Truth Shall Make You Free. It's a look at John chapter 8 and verses 31 through 47. We'll have to pick up with more of this study on our next edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Meanwhile, you can get an audio copy of this study if you get in touch with us right away. You can either call us at area code 909-393-7100, or you can visit us at calvaryCCH.org. As a matter of fact, you can get a lot of information when you visit us online, everything from events and service times here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills to other things happening with our many outreaches. That's calvaryCCH.org. Also remember that Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your financial contributions. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, remember you can always easily find it on our website at calvaryCCH.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.